Cool FM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Voice of America town hall, where we are surrounded by some of the best and brightest young people from across the African continent. They are the 2023 Mandela Washington Fellows. I'm Haydee Adams.
And I'm Roger Moon, too. They're also called the YALI Fellows. YALI stands for the Young Africa Leadership Initiative, the U.S. government's flagship program to invest in the next generation of African leaders. A significant count of youthful leaders from diverse fields such as business, politics, and civil society has dedicated several weeks to attending educational institutions across different states here in the United States. The effort aims to cultivate their abilities and networks, empowering them to become agent of positive transformation on the international platform.
Indeed, Roger. And documenting the journey and successes of Africa's new generation of young leaders is also part of our mission here at the Voice of America. That's why we have you here at our VOA headquarters in Washington for this town hall special. We want to hear from you. How has this experience changed you? What have you learned from each other? How do you see the future of your country, your continent? And more importantly, how do you see your place in it?
Your host and moderators for today will be Heidi here and myself today will be, and we're excited about facilitating a lively and candid discussion with each of you. We'll feature four guest panelists taking turns joining us throughout the session. Additionally, we'll be directing some questions to the wonderful audience that you see here. But before we get started, let's take a moment. I'm going to say this again three times, a second time. Before we get started, let's take a moment to applaud yourself for the achievements you've made so far.
Come to realize that the YALI Fellows are not just great. I've actually been hiding from them for the past few weeks because every time I'm in their presence and I hear what they've accomplished at this young age, yes, I really feel embarrassed and I get a low self-esteem and I feel like I haven't done much with my life.
That makes the two of us.
I know. But I pick my self-esteem up from the floor and let's begin our program. I want to turn now to our two guests here. We have our two panelists with us today and they are Asafika Mpako from South Africa, and also with us is Omar Champs from The Gambia. A warm welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks, Roger.
Thank you so much.
And Asafika, I'm going to start with you. You are with the independent research network Afrobarometer. As journalists, we use Afrobarometer's work quite a lot. And part of what you do is to ensure, or part of what you'd like to see, is that there are more youth perspectives included in policy research on the continent. Tell us about your experience here in the United States, the connections you've made, the people you have met, and how you think this experience can help you accomplish that.
Thanks so much, Heidi and Roger. It's a pleasure to be here. So a lot is said about the huge youth demographic on the African continent. We are told and we hear that the median age is 19. And so that leads us to the question, why is it that young people are not occupying positions of substantial influence in different sectors of society? And what we're often told is that young people do not possess the required skills and expertise in order to occupy these positions. And so a program like this one, the Mandela Washington Fellowship, that allows a cohort of 700 young leaders from across the continent to come to the U.S. and hone their skills in different areas and then take those skills back to their countries and plow back into their communities is a very important initiative. For myself, I always think, so I work at the intersection, as you rightly said, of research and policy, and I often think about what it means for young people to take up space in policy and in research and to elevate youth voices there. And so young people, I've come to find, hold many of the solutions that we need to confront the challenges that are faced in many communities, but we need to be empowered to take our rightful place as equal partners, leaders, and contributors. And so it is through programs like these that we can be supported in order for us to be able to do that. I believe that Africa needs a new generation of young leaders who will build bridges between Africa and the United States and who deeply understand the continent, but also have a deep understanding of the world. Exactly. And so that is why we are here.
Very, very interesting. Omar, you have more than 15 years, I should say, of experience in promoting good governance, right? Democracy and human rights and the rule of law. And you have volunteered so many hours, you know, as a children's rights activist, I should say, advocate at the Combo East Youth and Children Development Alliance, right? Now, the question I have for you is, could you tell us, tell everybody who's watching us, tell us about a specific project that you personally have led that reflects this commitment that you've been doing.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I'm so much honored to be here. The impact that I've created in response to, you know, some of these commitments is better explained in the form of a journey. So when I actually got into the child rights advocacy spectrum in 2006, there was a huge level of, you know, low level of representation of children in decision-making processes. And it was my fervent belief that in order for there to be real governance, in order for there to be good democracy, the voice of everything, everyone matters. And as a result, we ensured that we advocated for the inclusion of children. So at the National Youth Conference and Festival, where I was the youngest delegate in 2008, I advocated for the establishment of the Children National Assembly and as well as a Ministry of Children's Affairs in order to ensure that the voice of children are reflected, that we don't just bring programs and give it to them, but give them the opportunity to voice out what they really want to be done for them. And I'm very happy to announce that as we speak, there's a Children National Assembly in the Gambia, and right now children are able to take center stage to talk about the things that affect them. And even though there is no specific Minister of Children's Affairs, but Children's Affairs is now incorporated into the Ministry of Gender, which is a huge achievement since I was a child. Moving forward, my advocacy lenses started shaping up, and as I become, you know, an adult or a youth, it's moved from a child's rights advocate to a youth advocate. And as Speaker of the National Youth Parliament, I led reformations that led to the election of young people across the constituencies in the Gambia, where each of them represent a constituency, but also have women representation and persons with disabilities to be able to hold conversation around the issues that are affecting young people. And it was the first time that we were able to have a national youth sittings in the National Assembly chambers of the Gambia with actual representation from these constituencies and you know, marginalized groups. And that is because of the belief that without the effective participation of every section of society, we can never achieve good governance and democracy. And to take it further, we ensure that we take part in all the governance processes by, you know, first of all, serving as election observers, but creating the avenue to inform people of the importance of voting, the importance of putting your voice in terms of those you elect. And through that, we're able to raise the vote percentage up to over 20% in the last elections compared to the election before that. So it's a lot of things that come together to ensure that the voice of young people are heard, because anything done, you know, for us, without us, is definitely not for us. And this is a motto that we definitely ensure comes to everything we do.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do in your spare
allow
time?
Allow me to tell him that. allow me, Eddie, please, to tell you that I want to be like you when I grow up.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what my point was earlier. And so we want to hear from the rest of you as well. And I have a question here that I want to put you in the audience. Now, here at the Voice of America, of course, you may have noticed that we've been tracking your stories. We've been covering your journey. Many of you have been on our shows. It's like a media heaven here at VOA, right? We have all these radio services and television services as well. But, you know, we've been following your Yali experience. And I believe some of you have said that the first time that you met other Africans from other African countries was here in the United States. So you had to come to America to meet the rest of Africa, indeed. So I want to ask that first question. You are all from different countries, from different regions, from different communities. What have you found? There's one thing that you all actually have in common. Anyone?
One thing that I noticed that we all have in common as young African leaders is the passion to transform Africa and to bring positive change to our local communities. Each one of us is making an effort, as small as it is or as big as it could be, back in their home countries or in their small communities, to make the lives of people in the African continent better. We are from different fields of work and different fields of expertise. There are leaders who are doing civic leadership, civic engagement, or there are young African leaders in entrepreneurship and in public management. But one thing that we share and one thing that we are all passionate about is to make Africa a better place and to bring positive impact to our continent.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
That is just great. And I'm glad that, you know, I was thinking how you guys meet here from different backgrounds and different countries, but also different cultures, right? In Africa, we do have so many countries in Africa and different cultures, of course. But we in America, we also have our own culture, right? The experience also in community service, I'm not teaching you anything new, but you guys know it's a big part of your program. How did interacting with Americans and local communities influence your perspective and approach to leadership, because that's also what you guys are learning, and you've seen the American culture. How did that influence you guys, anyone?
Thank you. I think my interaction here really influenced on how I look at issues that happen in my community and also issues that happen across the globe. I got to understand to say that every country, big or small, is struggling with its own things. And also, one of the things that I've really learned just by being here is that even the change that we see in America, the things that we appreciate that it has advanced more than many of the countries, the change happened by regular people, people that just thought about, say, this isn't right, and they went on to say, I need to do something about that. And that just really make me feel like I'm the right person to deal with the issues that I see in my community, in my country. I don't have to have superpowers. If I can see the problems that is there, I'm the right person to actually act. So that has been something that I'm resonating back to say, I don't have to have like all the money that is there in the world, but that in a community, if every person can come together with whatever resources that they can have, we can surely make the change that we want to make at the end of the day.
You say you don't have superpowers, but you're young and you're African. That's your superpower, isn't it? Fantastic. But listen, thank you for all these questions. We're going to bring some more to you a little later on. For now, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we will introduce you to our next two panelists. And we'll, of course, put some more questions to our audience. We're going to reflect a little more on their time here in the United States. We'll also look ahead to the future. You are watching a special Voice of America Town Hall with the 2023 Mandela Washington Fellows. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
We are delighted to have you back at Voice of America Town Hall. Today, we are hosting the 23 Mandela Washington Fellows Town Hall event. Since 2014, nearly 4,400 young leaders from every country in sub-Saharan Africa have participated in the fellowship. The Leadership Institute began in June. Fellows and designated institute staff traveled to Washington, D.C. for the Mandela Washington Fellowship Summit. The summit was held from July 31st to August 3rd, 2023.
Thank you very much, Roger. And we're going to continue our program here and bring in, of course, our second pair of panelists. We have with us Elisa Jamal from Mozambique and Julius Ilori from Nigeria. Warm welcome to both of you to our panel. Julius, I'm going to start out with you with a little bit of background about you. You're the founder of the Learner's Corner Technology Hub. This is the first edutech hub in West Africa, and you work to promote access to quality education. This is something that actually is very dear to my heart. I feel that every child on the continent should have access to that, and I'm glad you're working in this field. Julius, I'm sure you have heard all the myths and the misconceptions there are about our continent. What have you found are the biggest misconceptions about not just the African continent, but the young people of the African continent? What are the misconceptions that are out there, especially from people who are outside of the continent? And what do you think can be done to challenge and change those misconceptions?
All right. Thanks so much for having me. First of all, I want to say thank you for hosting this, giving us the opportunity to speak. I'm going to take this from three different angles. Number one, from the media. How the media has painted the stories of young people in Africa, and that maybe local or international media, the way they tell our stories may not be accurate sometimes. They always talk about the African prince or the Nigerian prince or whatever. But the reality of this is the fact that we have a lot of young people who are making great strides in their various sectors. As you can see here, we have people from Zimbabwe, from Ghana, from Mali, from Togo, from Nigeria, from Cameroon. I mean, I was amazed when I met my first cohort in my institute. I was listening to everybody. I'm like, wow, Africa is blessed. We have people like this doing amazing work, but nobody's talking about their work. Nobody's talking about what they do. The camera is not on them, but more is on maybe the people that do cybercrime, and the stories are everywhere. They talk about Osh Poppy and some of these big names, you know, who have been arrested for some of the illegal things they have done. But really, the media is not really playing their role properly to put the spotlight on the people, which are the young people who are making the right impact, doing the right thing to maybe use that to transform what people hear in diaspora or what the international community knows about. Secondly, from the angle of young people, a lot of young people in Africa, we are struggling to survive. And there is this issue of economic, we lack economic empowerment somehow, and we don't have what it takes to, like, sometimes we don't even have funds, sometimes we don't have food to eat, sometimes, really. And from that perspective, a lot of young people are frustrated. All they live with is hope. Tomorrow will be great. Next tomorrow will be great. And when you continue to live your life like that as a young person, your energy is channeled toward the wrong things. And this is something that we sometimes have to pray. And that's why I see a lot of us in Africa, we are so religious, because we really turn to God, believe that it's only God that can solve our problem. And lastly, from the angle of the international communities, what they see, who they see, and how they see us, right? And I also think that the international community need to focus on more economic empowerment programs that can transform the life of young people in Africa, rather than short-term interventions, short-term programs, and take it off short-term programs. And at the end of the day, it's not really taking us where we want to be. So I'm just using this platform to also talk to the international community. You know, I've started the yearly program, which I think has transformed the life of a lot of us, personally myself and some of my colleagues right here. We need more of these programs, and to maybe channel it towards economic empowerment. Young people should be able to afford sanitary pad or not get donation of sanitary pad. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Elisa, you are with the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, right? And through your work, you help people displaced by conflict. You also focus on preventing and responding to gender-based violence, right? Great work, again. And with your experience and accomplishment, what advice, Elisa, do you have for young African leaders who aspire to create positive change in their communities, as most of them, we see them trying to make. But what advice do you have personally?
Thank you very much for having me and for the question. I love giving advice. I think many of us feel the same way here in this room. Mm. The first thing that I would say is that young people should have empathy I think throughout the course that we've had in the United States, a lot of us came together and we were asked about what are our top five strengths. And I felt that we all resonated in being able to understand the different challenges that our communities are facing and relating to them and using that as a strength in order to make actual big impact within that environment. The second piece of advice would be that listen to the people that you're trying to help. So listen to your communities, take their feedback in. Most of the times in international and humanitarian settings, we come in with an approach and a strategy and an ideology about what the impact on the ground would be. But when you talk to the communities, they already know what the solutions are for themselves. And that is a big statement, that understanding that makes you a better person and will make your career easier as a young leader, advocate for them to have a bigger voice in big platforms, in international platforms, and in different levels and platforms, yeah. And the third piece of advice is that I was bringing through this idea of being able to understand that you are not a failure and that you are good enough. I think that when I applied to Yali, I had this imposter syndrome, they keep calling it that. And it was this ideology that I was not good enough to be in this program with amazing counterparts. But really, apply for everything, believe in yourself, and make sure that you never give up. And you will get wherever you want to be, whether that's helping the community in the ground, whether that's leading a UN, a UN strategy, or whatever it is that you dream
never
about,
give up.
Never give up.
And don't let nobody tell you that you cannot.
You can't do that.
You heard that?
Yes, but you asked her to give advice.
I know you were taking off advice too. I saw it.
I was listening to her advice.
It was like, but,
it was for us.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Julius, Elisa, thank you so much. That was fantastic. And I want to put some questions to our audience here as well. My questions are the most difficult ones to answer. You know, I want to know from you, when we always talk about, you know, the danger of the single narrative on the continent, because we have so many narratives and there are just so many fascinating stories. But I want to hear from you guys about what worries you when you look around you in your country, when you look around you and you see certain trends on the continent, but also at the same time, what makes you hopeful about what you see around you? And what makes you hopeful about the trends that you've noticed on the continent?
Well, thank you so much again for giving us the floor. I'd say what worries me is that we lose our identities as Africans, even amongst us, not especially copying what we see from the Western world, but even amongst us, like I am different. I come from Cote d'Ivoire. I am profoundly different from someone from the south of the continent or from the east of the continent. But, you know, when we see some countries rising to the top and always hearing their names say, used again and again in the media, I might want to copy, for example, the culture from Nigeria or from South Africa because it's cool, it's trending, it's everywhere. But my difference is making me unique. It's not making me kind of like the bottom of the list. So I worry that we try to copy each other and we lose what makes us unique and what makes Africa unique, because it's all of us that is making the continent so bright. But what gives me hope is at the same time, all of those countries that we hear a lot from, Nigeria, South Africa, again, Kenya, Rwanda, they are showing others that you can do it by staying authentic. You can do it by staying true to yourself. And I hope that we, the other countries from Africa, stay thriving, stay being authentic and telling our stories, because we have different stories. And they are all worth listening to.
Oh, that's wonderful. That was worth listening to.
Yeah, totally. I mean, totally.
One thing that I keep hearing during this discussion and us just sharing is that you guys become as one family. You know, some people never met other Africans from other countries, and you guys meet, you become family, right? And I'm sure you guys leaving this place with some memories and some great stories. Could someone tell us, you know, share just a memorable lesson that you've actually gained from your journey at Mandela Fells, and that has significantly impacted your perspective of what you've been learning, and by that I mean leadership, right? What's memories you can share?
I would like to express first is that Safiha is trying to address in South Africa, this is a global issue across the continent. Like the elder people try to just to keep the power for themselves and just try to keep us out of control of what they are doing. And this is just my biggest fear in Africa. Like we are not included enough in the process of decision making. And what really I like to see right now is that the political awareness is trying to be a big deal across the continent. And I am sure that in the next 20 years, this is going to change the Africa face. I am sure about that. When I'm seeing you, like hearing you speaking about your stories, I am just optimistic about what will happen in the Africa.
And Sam, I understand that, but what have you personally learned or gained from this program about leadership?
I'm going to that question.
Okay, great.
That was just like
okay. So that was just the beginning. I got
That was just the beginning. I'm going to come to that yeah. question. Like I have been placed like in Mississippi in Jackson State University. This is the south of the U.S. and like even like. Within the U.S., everything is different. And, like, we have visited, like, around 20 companies. So we have seen, like, 20 CEOs. And we have seen a lot of politicians in the area of Mississippi mm-hmm. and the Louisiana. So what I really, the best takeaway in leadership, especially politically saying, is that the people are accessible. You can just... knock to the door of the mayor, you can knock to the door of the senator, you can knock to the door of anyone in the political positions. In our countries, you can't do that. You cannot knock to the door of the senator. They are just inaccessible. You can just access to them. So my best takeaway as leadership is that you have to be accessible for people that you are advocating for. So this is just something that I'm going to take home. Mm. Try even to be accessible for my own employees in my company, and try to also get into the community, knock to the door of the community, and so that they can knock to my door.
So, Sam, if you become the president of Senegal one day, can we knock on your door?
For sure.
He say that. He say that. Okay.
So, you know, you started your campaign here, right? Absolutely. Well, you know what? Give yourselves a hand. This has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. It's been fantastic hearing from all of you. And of course, like they say, all good things have to come to an end, because that does bring us to the end of our Voice of America Town Hall with our 2023 Mandela Washington Fellows.
As mentioned by Ade here, we've come to the end of this insightful and engaging discussion with a distinguished guest. And it has been an absolute privilege to have the opportunity to share your stories, your experiences, and perspectives. Your journey as a Mandela Washington Fellows are truly inspiring, and we're grateful, really, for the wisdom you've imparted upon us today. Thank you so much again. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And as you prepare to go home, as you go around the world, wherever this life takes you, remember you are the promise of our continent.
Oh, yeah.
Never forget that. Mm-hmm. You are the generation of Africans that this world has been waiting for. So remember that wherever we go. And also remember that here at the Voice of America, you have a family here at VOA that is rooting for your success. So as we say in South Africa, Hamba Kahle.
Go well. But hold on. Before we wrap things up, I just want to ask you guys, with your permission, can I take a quick selfie? Yeah.
Stay where you are. Everyone, not just of himself.
Yeah. Stay where you are, because I'm going to move somewhere, because I usually do this in my show. So please forgive me if you don't like selfies.
I'm not even in his show, but okay, I'll just go.
All right. Make sure I can use this and make sure I can get everybody. Oh, this is great.